Shirley this morning. Pastor Constantino loses and we win. Why do you say that? Well, they go to the Lighthouse Baptist Church, North Tonawanda, Pastor Constantino, but every 2 weeks they're here. So he lost this week, we won. All right. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 29. Richard Cook, as long as we won, why don't you stand up and pray for us for the service.
So, Father, it's your children, and we come to hear your counsel. Lord, what good counsel it is. Lord, we just makes us think of how, where we would have been if you hadn't found some lifters out of the pit. We praise you. Thank you for taking time to teach your children. Lord, we promise to pay attention and take in what you say and apply it to our lives and have good success and be examples to the lost of what Christianity is and who you are. Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I listened to that singing this morning, and Rich, boy, both songs on the peace of God and such, and thought to myself as we filled the house of God with music, and we did this morning, and I believe that's to the glory of God that that was done. But I thought to myself how pitiful the churches that are trying to entice young people to come in with all this hangy wiggle music and such. And you look how many young people are here that just love singing these songs. Just love them. And to them, it's new. They didn't grow up with this stuff. It's new to them. It's wonderful to them to hear these songs and such. And what a joy. All right. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 4. And to give you a little context here, this is a message that gets sent to the children of Israel in captivity. Okay? And here's what it says, verse 4, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all those that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Build ye houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives and beget sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that they may be increased there and not diminished." Now, this went contrary to everything that they were thinking to themselves. These are people in captivity. And so imagine to yourselves that suddenly foreign troops came in here and just round up everybody in Black Creek and put you on trains and move you to some outlandish place, or whatever. And there you are, and you're pining and wondering, when can we go back to our lands, our houses, those things we knew and such. And so the false prophets were telling people, any moment now, here it comes, don't worry, and getting the resistance, and God's going to tell them, no, you're going to be there 70 years. Okay, that's a long time. If we were to wait 70 years here, we'd be waiting to the year 2088. Okay, and most of us aren't going to live that long. Okay, just be the younger children and such that would even see that. So the idea is, what did God want them to do? Build houses, take wives, have children, find wives for your sons. Okay, that's what you're to do. And it's just the last thing that most of them wanted to hear. But in reality, it's good news. Now, this really genders to what Paul says when he talks about, and we read this maybe a month and a half ago or something, where he talked about, I pray for all those in authority. Why? So that you can live peaceable and godly lives. Okay? Why does God want the government of the United States to be run well? Because he's a Democrat? Because he's a Republican? Because he can't? No. Why? So that the house of God can meet and flourish, and the people of God can come together. Why does God want the government of the state of New York to be run well and efficient? Okay? Why? Because he's into some political program? No, not at all. He wants, the roads to be plowed in the winter and that we can come here and the fire departments to work so the buildings are safe and so that we can come and we can hear the words of God together. And he says that. He said that's his motive for it. So the thing is, he's really given a very similar message to those that are captive in Babylon and telling them, I want you to take sons, your sons to have wives, and I want you to flourish where you are. And I want you to grow there and to do well. Now, he says this, verse 7, and seek the peace of the city, whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof ye shall have peace. One of the reasons you're to pray for the peace of where you live. Right? You know, we live in an age, to be honest, of disgraceful conduct towards elected officials. Okay, we do. And you bear witness when Barack Obama was the president of the United States. You know that I told you, you will treat him with respect. You will call him President Barack Obama. Okay, you call him that. I don't want to hear Muslim jokes. I want to hear jokes, you know, and that kind of stuff. I've been in pulpits where it's a big fun to laugh at President Obama and make jokes and things of that sort. You know that when Hillary Clinton was a senator here, that I told you, you will not call her Hillary. You will call her Senator Clinton in this church, okay? We are Christians. We're conservative in that sense, and we believe in respect, okay? And, you know, with President Trump, it's one of those things, it's disgraceful, the things that are said. Now, that doesn't mean that people have to be politically in tune with him. There's ways, you know, gather money, protest, all that's fine. But there's limits to what you should say, okay? You know, one of the things it says in the book of 2 Peter, it talks about those that God will damn, and it says chiefly those that despise government. Chiefly. And they are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. It doesn't bother them at all. You know, we have whole TV shows just dedicated to speaking evil of dignitaries. Yeah. Just to get on there and mock and say horrible things and run them down and make everybody laugh at them and such. God forbid that you entertain yourselves with such. And I don't care who's in power. God forbid that you find that a way of entertaining yourselves and to have fun. And, you know, I like a good political cartoon as much as the next person. When the point to it is to make a political point and disagree with a person's policy. But you don't need to be dragging them down as a person. So seek the peace of the city where I've caused you to be carried away captives. And pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof ye shall have peace. Verse 8. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which you have caused to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. You know, everybody wants to prophesy. You know what I've learned about my prophecies? They're about as accurate as a coin toss. Okay? I'm not exactly, you know, it's one of those, here's what I think is going to happen in the next 5 years. Toss a coin, you know, and see how accurate I was. And, you know, it's one of those things here. You know what God put forth is the standard for prophecy? Absolute 100% perfection. Go read Deuteronomy chapter 13. We're in Jeremiah 29. I'm quoting somewhere else. We're in Jeremiah 29 there. But go read Deuteronomy chapter 13 and Deuteronomy chapter 18 where the Lord gives the rules for a prophet. Number one, if a prophet, every single thing they said exactly doesn't come true, they were damned. They were not from God. Okay? Not at all. What's that mean? It means that if I told you that President Trump is going to have a surprise nationwide phone call at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, I have this insight, and that he was going to talk about troubles between Iran and Russia and what we were going to do about it, and that he would call the minority leader, Nancy Pelosi, to stand by his side. If he came out at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning and wow, everybody's shocked, and he talks about troubles between Iran and Russia, but Nancy Pelosi is not standing there, you're to stone me. That did not come from God. Okay? It has to be 100% accurate. Go read Deuteronomy. Go read Deuteronomy 13. Go read Deuteronomy 18. Okay? It has to be 100% accurate. So what people do today is they prophesy and they like to get the 70-80% range and tell people, wasn't that wonderful? There's no proof that's from God whatsoever. Okay? The devil loves to torment people and give them insights. How many times have you heard me talk about that? You know, the most insightful people in this building right now are the most hurt. What do you mean by that? You take somebody who's lived a life of abuse and hurt all their life. When they're sitting in the room, they see everything. They see everything. You know, I used to sit on the bus number 19, picked up in Machias. They take me to the Delaware Machias School. Old Reverend Francisco was our driver. He used to be the pastor here of the church and such. But you know what? They asked with kids, we're always poor. And I'd go to school hungry sometimes. I'd come home hungry. I'd sit in the classrooms hungry. And, you know, just... you know, we were always on the outside and never in or anything of that sort. But, you know, I could sit on that bus and I could look at every single person and see everything that was wrong with them. I'd see every single, you know, that star cheerleader, she really thinks she's something, but I see this. You know, that star quarterback on the football team, he thinks he's a, but, you know, here's what he really is. And I would see the, and I had that depth of insight. You know what Jesus Christ called that? The evil eye. You know what it is? It's that eye with insight that only hurts. All you see is the evil. All you see is the bad.
Yes, sir.
And that's all you see. You call that the evil eye. I remember one time a fella staying at our house when we lived in South Carolina, and he asked me, he said, can I take, you know, your kids are out playing the yard, can I take pictures of them? I said, sure. When he brought them back in, he had the evil eye. In other words, if one of my kids put their finger up their nose and took a picture. You know what I mean? In other words, he caught them all in these awful places. You know, if you watch your kids, sooner or later your kids are going to screw up. They're going to. He just went around and did that. You know why? That's because all he could see. That's all he had. And the Lord warns you of prophets who see things, but they're not seeing what God wants.
That's right.
Okay? And he warns of that. And he goes on and he says this, verse 10. Jeremiah 29, verse 7. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished in Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. Now this is what Daniel quotes at one point in the book of Daniel. Daniel said, and I have been made to know by letters that it shall be 70 years here. Okay? I've been made to know that. Daniel has just read this when he says that. It goes on, it says in verse 11, this is really what I wanted to get to. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. You know, for people that have been dragged out of their homes and people that have watched their loved ones killed and for people now in a strange land and people in that place, you know, their opinion of God wasn't particularly high at the moment. You know what God said towards them? I have thoughts of peace. What I really want you to have is peace. You know, I know a lot of people that if they could have one day of peace in their life, it would change everything.
Sure. Yeah. Yes, sir.
There was a war that started years ago, sometimes with their parents, sometimes with their grandparents, sometimes with their great-grandparents, just started years ago. I remember Lucille Lawton telling me this when I got to the church. I said, well, you know, I find a lot of old conflicts. And she said, yeah, a lot of them were before the 1950s they started. But they're still raging and they're still going on here. Okay? And it's one of those things that, and then people carry those conflicts with themselves. I've got people in here that if you were to be put on a desert island by yourself, there would be war.
All right?
It just would. You carry it in your own bosom. It's there with you all the time. And you'd sit there and fuss and be angry and torn to pieces. You know what God's thoughts are towards you? They're thoughts of God would love you to have peace. Peace in yourselves, peace with your neighbors, peace with Him. God loves that. That's what God wants. And again, I'll quote from the old cartoon character Pogo. We have met the enemy, and he is us. All right? Chances are, the biggest reason you don't have peace in your life is now you. Oh, it may have been a mother. It may have been a father. It may have been an uncle. It may have been a brother. It may have been a neighbor. But a long time ago, they slipped out of your life and they handed you the torch. And you've held on to it. And you've seen to it that you can make every mistake that possibly can be made to rob the peace out of your life and destroy the peace in your life and see to it that there is no peace. And you know what God's thoughts are towards you? Peace. Peace. I've told you this thing where I used to have it in my own bathroom. Then, you know, I ran a shop for a long time. We manufactured some things and I ran some crews out of there at the same time. And I put that sign in the bathroom on the mirror and it just said, "You are now looking at the person who's most liable to mess off God's perfect plan for your life." You know, I remember a salesman one time going in there using it, walking out and saying, "Wow."
I actually seen that in
the face. Did you? All right. He saw that on his base. All right. It's a good sign to put up. You're looking at the person. Who's your biggest enemy? You say, "Oh no, you don't understand. It's this person, it's that person, it's this one." No, I'm just telling you this.
Yes, sir.
There's other people who could take your life right now in all the circumstances and not suffer like you suffer.
That's right.
If they found a way to have peace, internal peace, and they've learned to have that, they've learned to have that peace with God, and God wants that peace. You know, one of the reasons I teach morality. What do we mean by morality? Well, everybody wonders. That term gets changed a lot nowadays. Why do I teach that? You know what I've learned? Immorality causes depression. We're just going to talk in humanistic terms for a bit. Immorality causes depression. If I wanted you to live a depressed life, I mean miserably depressed, I'd tell you to go get sexually involved with someone you shouldn't be sexually involved with. Okay? I'd tell you to go out there and get somebody and you know what one of the signs of a bad relationship is? Two people swapping DNA, but they don't even share a checkbook. Two people swapping DNA, and yet, their plans for their futures are totally different. They're not even in sync, one with another. And you want to know what? You want to lay awake at night thinking about suicide? You want to go ahead and just wonder what it's like to be depressed all the time and never be happy again? Go ahead and live that way, okay? I'd spare you every bit of that. I'd spare that for you and my love for you. I'd beg that you never live that way and that it never happened to you. That the first person you ever swap DNA with be absolutely someone who is taken, and you share a last name and you share a checking account and you share a future together and you're together with each other. And I would beg God for that for you. Why? Because I want to see some moral people all living up to my standards. God forbid.
Yes.
My thoughts are thoughts of peace towards you. That you have a peaceful life, a good life, a happy life, a life with joy. And you want to know something? Crummy things happen to all lives. They do. Don't care how you live. Crummy things are going to happen to you. Awful things are going to happen to you. We have people in here, there have been things that have happened in your life that would tear the heart out of a lion. Okay? And they've happened, and they're awful stuff. But you know what we also learned? It's no excuse not to have the peace of God, that God can come in and God can heal that stuff and God can take care of it. Unless somebody handed you the torch and said, "Continue to torture yourself, continue to live this way, make sure you don't forgive people, make sure you live in the awfulness and carry every little resentment with you and pass it on to the people you love and such." God doesn't want that. God wants you to have peace and love. That's the hippie thing. Peace and love. They never knew how to have it. You know, I told my children this years ago, we went through a great family tragedy. Some of you are familiar with it, some of you aren't. But it was a great family tragedy. And I told them this. I said, over the years, I have met many, many people. And I have met some who are just wonderful people to be around. That everyone just loves to be in their company. They just roll with the punches and just seem to have a kind word and nice things to be said. And I used to make the mistake of thinking, oh, they must have lived a perfect life. Everything must have gone wonderful for them. And then when you find the life, you're like, oh my goodness, some horrible things have happened in that life. Terrible things have gone on in that life. But you know what? They learned.
Yes, sir.
First of all, as the Apostle Paul said, in whatsoever state they are, therewith to be content. They learned that. And they learned to find peace. And they learned to get along with people. And you know what? In that learning, they were actually able to spread that to others so that others could have peace around them and find good things. And then I've met other people who, if you're with them for 5 minutes, you feel like I do.
Yep.
And it's contentious. And it's just, they're tough to be around. They're tough to like. And you think to themselves, they must have had a horrible life. And sometimes you find out they really didn't. There wasn't that way at all. And you know what the thing is? I told my children, I said, now you have a chance of being one of those wonderful people. You have a chance of overcoming what we're going through. You have a chance to be one of those people that others really want to be around and other people really want to know you, and you can heal lives and talk nice to people and people want to be around. And you know what? There's not a person in here who doesn't have that chance to be that person.
That's right.
God says he has thoughts of peace towards you. Thoughts of peace. What a wonderful thing.
Amen.
Then he says, we'll read verse 11 again. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Isn't that what you really want? Don't you want God to listen to you? You know the people I know who are angry with God because he does not listen to them? They pray. God doesn't answer their prayers. They don't get what they're wanting. They're angry. They're bitter with God. I've met people who tell you they're atheists. After a while, you talk to them, realize they're not an atheist. They're just angry with God. Okay? And you want to know something? No child of mine is going to walk up to their mother with muddy shoes on the carpet and call her, hey, old lady, and slap her on the backside and say, give me a cookie. Okay? You know what? They're not going to get a cookie. The shock you might live through, a touchy shock, but not able to react quickly enough or whatever. Well, people go up to God and tell God, here's what I want.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yes, sir.
You don't realize there's ways to approach God, there's ways to live with God, there's ways to find out how to be around God.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Okay? Yep. You better learn what those are. You know what God wants thoughts of peace toward you? So he said, you can call upon me and you can get these things you want. But you just can't live any old way you want and then have God answering your prayers.
Yeah, that's right. That's
you just can't have that.
Yep.
And you want to know what? Sometimes I live what I think is what God wants, and he still doesn't answer my prayers in the time that I want it. But you know what I learned? I quoted this today. The Apostle Paul made a great statement. He said, having done all therefore, stand.
Right. Yes, sir. Amen.
Stand. You've done what you're supposed to. Done what you're, you know. God doesn't, that's why he says watch and wait. Sometimes it just doesn't happen on the schedule you want it to happen on.
That's right.
But he's God.
Amen.
He's God. And then he said in verse 14, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations, from all the places whither I've driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. What he told them? I will be found of you. And when you're found of God, he will carry you out of captivity.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
This idea, oh, this person got saved, but they've never really been delivered, that's nonsense.
That's right.
That's why modern fundamentalism has become a joke.
Sure it is.
Exactly. Become a joke.
Yes, sir.
They can't deliver people anymore.
That's right.
They don't have a clue how to deliver people. They don't have a clue how to go out into a neighborhood and carve out a people for Jesus Christ.
Yes.
They don't have a clue how to do it. I'm going to put on the internet. You know, I put these things from time to time. I'm in these different groups. I'm just going to put on a thing that said this. Go visit the nearest 20 fundamental Baptist churches to you. And look for new converts. Families that have been brought from darkness into light. Families that have learned the songs of Zion and can lift up holy hands without wrath or doubting because Jesus Christ is living in them.
Amen.
Okay? You know what? That skill was lost 30 years ago.
Right.
And no one knows how to do it anymore. You go visit the nearest 20 fundamental Baptist churches to you and see if you can find a family like that in one of them. Just in one. We have many like that in here. You know why? Because we still know how here to carve out the people for God out of the population. You know, Pastor Hain first got here, he rebuked me properly. Restrained, which is good for him. But at that time, I didn't want people coming from other churches and coming here. I didn't want that. Why? Because that's the only way fundamentalists know how to build churches. You go start a church somewhere or whatever and get people to come from other churches and to come there. And I just didn't want to do that. And he properly and rightly told me that can't be. You're cheating people. You have something here. That need to be able to come. And I thank God because some of you have come from some other churches and you have brought some life and some love here and your ideas and your thoughts and your prayers and I love that. Okay, but I don't ever want to lose sight of the idea that we need to find those people who are out there and teach them these things of God and that they come in here and learn. And we've learned that sometimes a long and a painful process. Okay, it's not always a pretty process when you bring folks in and teach them the things of God. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 3. You know, some years ago, I was listening to public radio. And again, I get bored. I'm like anybody else. And I'd be pretty bored to listen to public radio. But I was listening to public radio, and they were interviewing an author. And she was an English author, and they were asking her what her book was about. I don't remember the author's name. Didn't get the book. But the premise was fascinating. She talked about in the city of London that births stopped. Suddenly there's no children being born anymore. She talks about how midwives began to notice that their phones aren't ringing anymore. And after a while, everybody begins to realize, oh, we have a crisis here. There's no babies anymore. And that was the premise of her book, out of a science fiction book or whatever, with this idea that something happened where people weren't being born anymore. But you know, it didn't take long to notice. It's stunning that fundamentalism hasn't noticed. It's stunning they haven't noticed that they're not winning people to Jesus Christ. It's stunning that they go out there and pray with 1,000 people a week and call it salvation and no one ever comes in. No one ever becomes part of the church. No one ever changes their lives anymore. No one ever learns. And the only way you can do it is you have to do what the neo-evangelicals will do. You have to change all your dress standards. You have to change all your music standards. You have to change your Bibles and everything else. And that's not God. That's not Jesus Christ. Okay? That's why David Cloud wrote a book that says this, why most Baptist churches will become emergent churches in the next 20 years. What's an emergent church? Where you go liberal. And you go out and change all your music and you change all your stuff. And he says most Baptist churches are already on the road to it. And one of the reasons, he said, is that easy prayerism. That idea, just pray with somebody, tell them you're saved, you prayed this prayer. All right, Romans chapter 3, let's go to verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. This is God's opinion of mankind. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Very terrible opinion. Their throat is an open sepulcher. That's like a grave. With their tongues they have used deceit. Anybody in here exempt from that? The poison of asps is under their lips. In other words, your words poison people. I think most people realize that. Your words hurt. They poison. They, you know, let me tell you something. If you are a parent here, do you know what your words were meant to do? Your words are meant to build a child up.
That's
Okay? And I understand from time to time those words have to be rebuke and reproof. I understand that. But they were meant to nourish, to raise up, to encourage. But instead, too many people, it's the poison of asps.
Yes.
The words that come out of them hurt. They gnaw and they tear at people. And then he goes on, he says, verse 14, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, their feet are swift to shed blood, destruction and misery in their ways. And I wanted to get to verse 17, and the way of peace have they not known. You know, it's sad because the world has no idea how to find peace. None. The Word of God talks about peace. We sang two songs about it today. And it's interesting. I didn't coordinate with my wife at all on those songs. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, going down from the Father above. You know, what a wonderful thing. But there's people who can't find it. They can't find peace whatsoever. Can't find it in their souls. They can't find it in their family. They can't find it in their workplace. They can't find it anywhere. They don't have any idea what peace is or where to even find it. And you know what God wants? His thoughts towards you are thoughts of peace. I don't care who you are. You realize God has a vision of you with your life whole, happy, peaceful, full of love. Do you realize there's nobody in here? Here's a brother and sister sitting here. You know what my desire is for them? I want this young lady to have a life of love. Peace. I want it to be full. I want it to be satisfied. This young man here, you know what I want for him? I want his life to be full of love, satisfaction, peace, the good things, family, relationships.
Yes, thank you.
You know what sin wants? Your destruction.
Yes, sir.
And every compromise you make with it will draw you down that path of destruction, and it will hurt. It will tear at you. It will mess with you. God's thoughts towards you are thoughts of peace. Pastor Hayne, why don't you come and close the service however the Lord would have you do it.